Does what's happening in the news have any relationship to your worship service? Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. David, do you remember the news story about Nigeria's stolen girls?
Of course I do, Dean. I was in Nigeria 2 years ago, so that story resonates with me a great deal. There are like 300 girls. What didn't get in the news story is that a lot of those were Christian girls. It was a school in northern Nigeria, which is predominantly Muslim, but there were very few Muslim girls there. So basically, these are non-Muslims who have been kidnapped, and as of our recording, you know, obviously nothing's been said further because either they don't know how to get those girls out or otherwise they don't know where they are. But yeah, I remember it very, very clearly.
Now, you actually wrote a preaching tip about that story for our SermonCoach.com newsletter. Can you recall what you said and why you said it?
Well, there are an awful lot of things I've written that I have no recall whatsoever, but I remember that one because it had been about a month after the story broke, and I had been to probably three, maybe four church services, and not a mention had been made in any of those services as to this huge news story. And I was in a Methodist church. I was outside of my home area, so I had just gone to a church nearby. And in the pastoral prayer, the minister prayed diligently, fervently is maybe a better word, prayed fervently for these girls. And it just really captured me. I almost broke down crying because here was a man of God who was identifying with the Church of God on a worldwide basis, and he was asking for the Lord's help to find where these girls are and to rescue them. So it was very meaningful to me. There are so many times you're in church and major news stories, whether they're international or national, break, and then you go to church and it's as though nobody is living in that world where this news is going on. So for me, that was just a high point of that day, to hear this minister call out to the Lord on behalf of these girls.
Now, there are so many stories happening all around the world all the time. How do you know what to include and what not to include in a worship service?
Well, I've been doing what I call sound bites for probably, it's close to 25 years now. So it means that I've been looking at the newspapers and saying what story would bear involvement in some way in the morning service. And my guess is that people listening to us are aware of those sound bites. So you ask me, how do I know what to include and what not to include? It takes me a good while to do these every week, and I wonder, is any ministry even paying attention to these? And then every so often I'll hear from somebody that they're using those on a regular basis. I don't think it's that hard to figure that out. I've been doing it so long, it's habitual for me. There are times when I pick news from the world of sports. Sometimes I pick it from international things that are happening. Sometimes I put those into a pastoral prayer. Sometimes I use them as a call to worship. I know of churches that have used them regularly. Just nobody's ever asked me that question before. How do you know what to use? I basically go through the newspaper. I go to the internet, and I just say, Lord, what's something that everybody's thinking about? It's harder for me to do this, actually, than it is for the average minister, because we're posting these Tuesday prior to the coming Sunday, which means that ministers get to look at them on Wednesday. Do I want to use that Sunday? And news stories change so fast that you have to be careful. If I write something on Tuesday, it may have all changed by the time you get to Sunday. Whereas the actual minister in a church situation, you can change things right up to the night before. So I'm at a disadvantage, and usually I'm thinking, is this still going to be news when we get to, like, if there's a, say there's a World Series game on Monday, that's old news by the following Sunday. But if the game was on Friday, that's pretty current news if you're going to reference it on Sunday. So I'm always playing with the time factor. And so when you ask me, how do I know, that's the biggest problem to me. Am I going to be outdated even, you know, 4 or 5 days later? But to be current, in my mind, it's very big in the mind of the worshiper to come and think, wow, the church is living in the same world I'm in, you know. So
one of the advantages of you doing the sound bites, even if you choose a subject that changes slightly by the time Sunday rolls around, the very fact that you've chosen that subject and sort of shown how you would use it, gives the pastor the ability to then take that and make it current, but still use the kernel of the thought that you included in the soundbite. So the soundbite has value even if the news story actually changes.
Yeah, sometimes I think because we put them up on Tuesday, and if a pastor doesn't look until Saturday, these guys are really out of it. That's just one of the embarrassing things that we have to accept because of the deadlines. But it would be even possible, and I did this when I was pastoring, to think on Saturday, now what are news stories that people are going to find current that I can reference? And again, those can even be local news stories. I have the disadvantage, I can't think local news stories, because something may be very important in New Jersey and Arizona that has no meaning whatsoever. So I'm trying to get pastors into the mindset so that they're doing it themselves. But yes, my illustrations are only that. It's just, this is how you might do it in your setting, but you have to adapt.
Might people accuse you of messing with politics if you do this?
I suppose they might, because over those 25 years I've been doing this, I have had one person cancel membership in Sermon Coach because I referenced something, but I didn't reference it in a political way. I was just referencing what went on, and because of that, this person was quite... I actually used someone's name that he didn't like, and because I used that name, he was mad enough to cancel his membership. So the answer is yes. If you say might, yes, that could happen. It has happened, but that's the only time I can remember that happening. For the most part, I think that ministers are tolerant of what I'm doing and say, it's pretty neat. You referenced that, and yet you didn't take sides one way or the other. You basically used it as a call to worship. Everybody knew what you were talking about because it was the big news of the day and so on.
Yeah, it's obviously important that whatever political persuasion people might be, that stay out of the picture and that the newsworthiness of the event be what's emphasized.
I like the way you said that. That's exactly that's the edge that I'm trying to walk and not veer off. And I think if you do veer off, and especially in the area of politics, you'll hear very quickly. Maybe you'll lose a member like I did.
Why do you suppose it is that so few ministers reference stories from current events in their services?
I think probably, Dean, it's because ministers are trained to write sermons, and they aren't trained to think about other parts of the service where these fit quite naturally, either in an announcement time. Sometimes I use humor in the announcements, but they're into sermon making. Even then, you can reference the news. Billy Graham, when he was in his prime, he would start all of his programs referencing news items. And I think it's one of the things that made him seem relevant to people, because they heard him talking about things that they were hearing about all the time or they were reading about in the newspapers. You know, even newspapers, that sounds like a dated word, doesn't it? Because everything is changing. But Billy Graham is probably the best example I can think of, somebody who was a master at this. He even would personalize those. I was talking yesterday with so-and-so, and then he'd name some ambassador or some national head of an organization or a country or whatever. And you had the feeling that he was really in the know of what was taking place in the world. I think ministers can do that as well. I really do. In my reading the other day, I was so-and-so and so-and-so, and you're referencing the world in which people are involved. I think that while we're recording big news stories, it's a huge news story as far as the World Cup, because every 4 years you have the World Cup playoffs, and that's a massive story around the world. And just to be able to mention that in a service, you instantly have the attention of an awful lot of sports fans in the congregation. And that, oh man, I never knew that the minister knew there was a world of sports going on, or there was a world of business going on. All of the sound bites I write, I don't write nearly as much as about the business world as I could. And that's because that's not an interest to me, and I always feel a little bit funny because I don't understand it that well. All of us are that way. We have our blank areas. You do the best that you can anyway. I do relatively well with the world of entertainment. I think when you ask me, could you err in the area of politics, you can err in the area of entertainment by referencing the wrong movie or referencing the wrong television star or referencing something that people assume that you're watching all the time or that you've watched. So I write them very carefully, and I think would I use this if I were doing a service? And though I write several a week, I would not use probably more than one in a service. But if you do that consistently 52 weeks a year and you're doing that every Sunday, people have an awareness that you know what's going on in the world. And especially if you change, whether it's entertainment or sports or politics or business or whatever, they get the idea that you are aware of the world they're aware of. And that's a good thing, I think.
Can we talk for just a moment about sources? What are some of the sources that you go to for your Sunday soundbites?
Oh, I go to MSN.com on the internet. That's one. I read, now I may get myself in trouble here, but I read the Christian Science Monitor every week because they're very good on international news. They've won all kinds of awards for their reporting. So I find that probably Christian Science Monitor keeps me aware of what's happening in the big stories. I have tried several times to cancel my subscription. I shouldn't say tried to. I've thought several times about canceling my subscription to USA Today, the newspaper. Comes out 5 days a week, but I continue to read that. I read Time magazine. They usually are zeroing in on big stories. Those are references that anybody would be aware of. You know, I don't think with any of those you'd say they're necessarily Republican or Democrat. People, I mean, they're everywhere. You can find these everywhere. That's just happened. Those are the sources I go to most of the time.
Very good. Well, we hope we've given pastors something to think about in terms of bringing relevance to the service by mentioning items that are in the news.
If you don't mind, I can just put what I'm saying in a sentence. Okay, referencing church-related news stories in services makes church seem relevant. Or if I say that in the opposite way, ignoring church-related news stories in services makes church seem irrelevant.
Very good. We're very grateful that you joined us for this time together. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. We invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.